Going to take a little break tonight from the book of Mark, and let's go to the book of James. Thought we'd do something a little different, and I had several things on my mind. I thought it'd work out a little bit different than it has, but I thought I'd sort of use the radio broadcast today and maybe share some things with you tonight that I had been studying about there, but I got down to it. I didn't feel like that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So we're going to go to the book of James. But while you're turning there, let me say, in the back, we've got all kinds of gospel tracts and things. And we also have Through the Bible in a Year. And it's coming up first of the year. And if you read your Bible through every year, this is a good, it's a morning and evening plan. And you just go through and read what it says every day, and at the end of the year, you read through the whole Bible. But we've got those back there, so I'd encourage you to, if you've never read through the Bible, to read through the Bible. And if you read about three chapters a day, you can read through the whole Bible in a year. So it's not anything that's overwhelming. So I just saw those back there, and I wanted to mention it and encourage folks to read through the Bible. But James chapter 1, let's read one verse over there. This is just a little Bible study we're going to do tonight. I feel pretty unprepared, but I was down at, like I told you, I was talking to Brother Tibbett today, and he pastors over at Vilas Valley, and I said, you know what, I was down there about 4 o'clock, 5 to 4, 10 to 4, and we was talking about church. I said, do you know what you're preaching on tonight? He said, I have no idea. I need to go home. That's cutting it pretty close. And but I'm not much better. I had so much going on, and last night I had a world record talking on the phone evening. Every time I'd try to go study, the phone rang, and I just got tied up in that, and so that's all right. But like I was trying to say, this is just a little Bible study, and I've been doing the series on gifts three Sundays in a row, and this has to do with gifts as well. James chapter 1, verse number 17. This time of the year, there's a lot of emphasis on gifts, giving, receiving. I've already got a few gifts. I appreciate all of them. Even my mama got me a pair of pants. And that was Saturday night. And I looked at them and I said, thank you. I said, that's a little bit different. They just had a different little pattern on them. And there's Dockers. And I wear, she gets me pair about every year, and I went home and I thought, I'm just going to try them on. And I stuck my leg down in one of them, and my leg didn't go all the way through. And I thought, well, I know that was the right size. And I looked again, but they felt sort of stretchy, so I crammed it on down in there, and then I crammed the other one down in there, and I looked, and she bought me a pair of them skinny pants. And I went in there and showed Kim and Abigail, I said, that's the only time you ever see me, and them's going back. I don't see how could anybody, them's awful, and they look awful, and they ought to be against the law. So I'll not be wearing those skinny pants, but we got a good life out of it. But we think about gifts, getting and receiving and all like that. But the Bible says this in James chapter 1, verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so the Bible has a lot to say about gifts. And it says here that every good gift, and I think maybe just in the past year or so, I got to noticing and studying about that, and I've preached on it here, but how that God has a monopoly on everything that's good. Everything that's good, credit goes to God. The devil can't do anything good. Every good gift comes from God. People try to imitate But if you do something in the name of good, if an atheist does something in the name of goodness, he is robbing from the Lord. God has a monopoly on every good thing, every good deed, everything. And so God has a monopoly on good, but we judge our gifts. We usually judge gifts in three ways. I wrote this down. We think about, we get something, we judge a gift, and I'm not being critical in saying this, but it's just the way it is. We judge a gift by the thought. You know, I got my skinny jeans off of my mom, and they wasn't really jeans, but they was whatever they was, but it wasn't the perfect gift, but it's the thought that counts. You know, you've got some gifts like that, and she put thought into it, and I appreciate that. And we say sometimes, you know, it's just good to be thought of. Somebody give you a little something, and they put some thought into it, and we judge a gift by the thought that's put into it. It doesn't matter the price or really what it is, but just that somebody's thought about you, that's a blessing. And so we get gifts like that. And then sometimes we judge gifts by how much it cost, by the price. And if you ever got a gift from somebody and you said, you shouldn't have done that, that's too much. See, we're judging a gift by how much it costs. We think that's too much. Well, that's how we are. That's just how we judge gifts. Or we judge gifts by how useful they are. I got a screwdriver the other night down at our family get together, and it's electric and turned all different ways. And I thought to myself, now that's useful. That's something I won't use it every day, but it's a very useful gift. And so I put that in the good category. You know, that's how we are. We judge gifts. But as I thought about gifts, I thought about the kind of gifts that God gives. The kind of gifts that God gives. And that's what I want to try to preach on or teach on tonight, is the kind of gifts that God gives. James chapter 1 verse 17 says this, and there's three things in here, but it says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So all of the gifts that God gives are good. That's what the Bible says there in verse number 17. Every good gift. And all the gifts that God gives are perfect. Not a thing wrong with them. They're good. That's what it says. And every perfect gift. And everything that God gives is, according to the Bible here in verse number 17, it's from above. It's from above. It's from the Lord. You might say, well, somebody at work gave me this. But you know what? If God blessed them and God caused them to think of you, and I mean everything, all good, everything perfect, it comes from the Lord. And God is the original gift giver. We might be right in saying that, but it says there in the last part of verse 17, it cometh down from the Father of lights. That is a reference to the Lord. It comes from God, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means he doesn't change. He remains the same. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. And as I study the Bible and think about this, think about verse number 17, I think about this, God has put a lot of thought into his gifts because all of his gifts are perfect. None of them that we get or receive from the Lord, we say, well, there's something wrong with that. No, they're all perfect according to the Bible. And the gifts that God gives are priceless. You know, salvation is a gift. What would you take for your salvation? You wouldn't take anything for it. It's worth more than all the world. You wouldn't trade. If you could do it, you'd be foolish to trade the riches of the world or the things of the world for your salvation. There's no way to put a price upon that. And the gifts that God gives are useful as well. Think about how that we think about gifts. They're all good. They're perfect. They're priceless. They're useful. Philippians 4 and 19, the Bible talks about over there that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's pretty useful. read and study the book of Proverbs, and you see that God gives us all the instructions that we need to live by. How to be a parent, how to be a father, a mother, how to conduct our business, all of these things. What God gives us is very useful in our lives. But I just want us to think about some of the gifts or kinds of gifts that God gives. And we're just going to look at a few different places in the Bible tonight. First of all, let's look at John chapter number 3. And I want to think just a minute tonight about the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ. I know we are all familiar with John chapter 3 and verse 16. And then we're going to look over in Luke chapter number 2. But in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, of course, this is probably the most well-known, famous verse there is in the whole Bible. And I can quote it, but I'm going to turn over there and read it to you as we look at it. John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He," what's that say? He gave. That's a gift. "He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so we have the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thinking about gifts. And we think about Christmas time. It is impossible not to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift of all time is the only begotten Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. God came down. He dwelt among men, John chapter 1. And it talks about that over there in Luke chapter 2. And I read this on the radio today, talking about the Christmas story, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this greatest of all gifts. The Bible said in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And we're familiar with the passage of Scripture there. But I think the first preacher I ever heard preach on this, Preacher Mark Hodges, preached one time about how the Lord Jesus was gift wrapped. It was gift wrapped. And it says here that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. All of our gifts are, you know, it'd be odd to receive a gift that wasn't wrapped in some way. Gifts are wrapped. And when you see a gift that is wrapped, it ought to remind you of the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And I know that you're probably already familiar with this tonight, but swaddling clothes, that was not Oshkosh B'gosh. You know, that's a brand that babies, you know, for children. The Lord Jesus didn't have a new onesie to go home in. They took what was available, and His mother wrapped Him there in swaddling clothes. And if you study that out, swaddling clothes are actually grave clothes. They are strips of cloth. The same strips of cloth that they would take and they would wrap a dead person up in. That's what swaddling clothes are. So the Lord Jesus, even in His birth, points that He's here to go to the cross. He came to die for you and I, so that we could have eternal life. And that swaddling clothes, as we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, reminds us that He came to die for our sins. That was His mission upon earth, was to go to Calvary. When they took the Lord Jesus Christ down from off the cross, Joseph of Arimathea came and begged the body of Jesus that he might take His body and take care of it. And it says that Joseph went out and he took the body of the Lord Jesus and wrapped it. Wrapped it in the grave clothes. It was the same thing, strips of cloth. And we think about if you've ever seen pictures of a mummy, that's how they would prepare the dead in those days. And so Joseph began that process. He brought myrrh and spices, about 100-pound weight is what the Bible says, and wrap the body of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was wrapped in grave clothes when he was laid in the manger there. And when he was taken down off the cross, they wrapped him in grave clothes. But thank the Lord, he didn't stay in the grave clothes. He rose from the grave after the third day. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. I wanted to get to this and preach to this in my series on gifts, but I like this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You cannot say enough. And that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't say enough about him, about what he came to do and who he was and what he's done for us and what he's going to do. That's the greatest of all gifts, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thought also not only about the gift of Christ, but I thought about this. I thought about the gift of the church. The Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Acts, chapter about number 28, that he gave himself for the church. He gave himself, he shed his blood for the church. He bought and paid for the church with his own blood. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is the first time you find the word church mentioned in the Bible. Do you know the church is not the disciples' idea? The church is not the idea of some pastor or some later disciple that came along after the Lord Jesus and after the disciples. The church was the idea, is born, birthed in the mind of God, and the Lord Jesus came and he made sure before he left and went back that the church would continue on. The church is a gift. Can you imagine the world without the church, without a church, without a local church? The church is a blessing. Now, I know it receives a lot of bad press, we might say. And a lot of people, and I've noticed this more and more, people come to this area and they sort of make fun that there are so many churches. In fact, within the past couple of months, I met somebody and they made some kind of remark about all the churches, and I said, I'd rather see a church than a bar in a community. I'd rather see a church. Yes, there's a lot of churches. I'd rather see a church than a gambling joint, wouldn't you? I'd rather see a church than a strip club or some ungodly mess like that. You go to some of these big cities and pass by places like that, you know what it is. Ain't no telling what goes on in some of these places. Boy, I'd rather see a little church beside the road. I'd rather see the lights on. I'd rather see some cars in the parking lot. I know that's something that's good. That's something that's from the Lord. That's something that is a benefit to successive generations. Good enough for grandpa. Good enough for the parents. Good enough to bring the children to. It's a blessing. Can you imagine this world if there was no local church? We not only have the Lord Jesus Christ, but God has given us one another to be a blessing, to be a help, to be a comfort, to bear one another's burdens. Think about, we've had a lot of people in the hospital. And we've had a lot more visits maybe than we would when people aren't sick. Sometimes people are out of church a long time because of sickness and things like that. The church is a blessing. It's a blessing to have somebody help bear your burdens when you got something heavy on your heart. And maybe it's somebody that's out of the will of the Lord. Maybe it's somebody that's lost. Whatever the case might be, it's a blessing. Have somebody help you just pray. Pray about things. You think about the church and what a blessing that is, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm a promoter. You are as well, or you wouldn't be here on Wednesday night, on Tuesday night.
That's not the normal church night. Why not just cancel? Why not just forget about it? People's going and traveling and busy. Well, it's important to me. It's important to me to come together, sing, pray. That's the most important thing we do. And then look at something and get some help, a portion from the Word of God. What a blessing. That is, we have the gift of Christ. We have the gift of the church. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, John chapter 16, verse number 7. John chapter 16, and we're going to read verse number 7. While you're turning over there, you know Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's told his disciples he's getting ready to go away. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Their heart was troubled. They were bothered by what was going on. But he said in John 16, verse number 7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Now, they're troubled because the Lord's getting ready to go away. But expedient for you, it's better for you. It's even better for you. That's what that means. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And he is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's sometimes hard to wrap your mind around. In fact, I'm careful to preach about it. I don't want to say anything wrong. But I know this, it takes a divine person to replace a divine person. And when the Comforter comes in, it's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus dwells with us. That's the only way he can be true to his word when he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. How can he say that if he's not with us all the time? He's with us all the time in the person of the Comforter of the Holy Ghost. And he told the disciples, it's expedient for you. This is better for you. If I go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'll send him unto you. They were not left alone. But the Holy Ghost of God came, the Holy Spirit of the Lord. I like to use the phrase the Holy Ghost. I think that scares some people. I find that in the Bible. That comforts me. That doesn't scare me. That helps me. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost of God. Look in Galatians chapter 4. And we'll read a couple of verses over there. Without the Comforter, there be no comfort. Without the Comforter, there'd be no Holy Spirit. Can you imagine no Holy Spirit? But Jesus said, if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But if I go away, I'll send him unto you. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. We'll begin reading there, thinking about the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. It said, verse number 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. This is talking about what we talk about at Christmas, Jesus coming. The first time he came to made under the law, verse number 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But did you notice in verse 6? Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, that missionary Sunday morning, when he sang that song, I didn't understand it the first time. But when I heard him use the word Bab, did you catch that? Bab, Bab was in that song at the beginning. And he said that meant, my father, my father, my father. That really blessed my heart. He used the phrase Bab, my Bab, or something like that. Here it said, the spirit in your heart's crying, Abba, Father. When he said Bab, I thought to myself, I bet that's Father. It has something to do with Father. But when he said that, when he sang that, it was not the words that touched my heart. It wasn't the way that he sang that. But when he told us what that meant, the Spirit of God in my heart cried, Abba, Father. When he is bragging on that you've got a father and he loves you and he cares for you, that done something for me down in my heart. Say, preacher, what is that? That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God sent into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. Can you imagine trying to go through this world with no Holy Ghost of God, no witness from heaven whatsoever that you're one of his children? That'd be rough. He didn't leave us that way. He sent the gift of the Holy Ghost into our hearts, and we have a witness from heaven. How do you know you're saved? Well, I believe the Word of God. I believe what it says. I've trusted the Lord Jesus. But even above and beyond all that, there's just a witness from another world. There is a witness, and it is not me just convincing myself that that's the way that it is. It's not a psychological thing. It's a spiritual thing. There's a person lives on the inside. And it's the Holy Ghost of God. And he bears witness. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. There's a witness there. There's a person there. What a blessing that is. The gift of the Holy Ghost of God. You ever been down to the point that you didn't think you could get no lower? You ever been depressed, discouraged, disheartened? Doesn't matter what anybody says to you. That doesn't help you much. But you let the Lord come by. Wrap his loving arms around you and love on you. That'll pick you up. That'll help you. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God unto his children. Evidence, witness. Say, he's coming again, preacher. How do you know that? Got that witness in my heart. Everything's going to be all right. I know he's coming again. I know everything in the Word of God is true. Spirit of God lets me know that, shows me that, shines light upon the truth of God's Word. Isn't that a blessing? The Bible is the only book you'll ever read that the author is with you. Every word. Spirit of God's there. We have an unction from the Holy One, the Bible says, 1 John. There's the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's also the gift of the Bible. You appreciate your Bible tonight? 2 Peter 3:16, the Bible said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Truly furnished unto all good works. I can't preach on that I don't think about Preacher Honeycutt. He said, do you love the Word of God? He said, give it a hug. You ever tried that? Try it. It'll be a blessing to you. You love the Word of God? Give it a hug. Give it a kiss. That's the Word of God. God has given us His Word from heaven. We don't have to go through this life scratching our head, wondering, thinking, hoping, maybe so. You can know so. Now I know there's a lot of people, they throw off on the Bible. The Bible doesn't mean anything to them. You can be religious and the Bible won't mean anything to you. It won't matter what version you carry because really, it doesn't mean that much to you. But you read it every day. You want to honor and respect God's Word, and you study the Word of God. And the more you study and look into the Word of God, I mean, if you really go at it, I do not read the Bible as a critic. You read the Bible as a critic, and you're not going to see much. I read it as a student. I read it as a son. My Father gave this to me. It is His word unto my heart. You get the right attitude in reading the Word of God, and it won't bother you that people throws off that, well, I'm going to have a King James Bible. That's the Word of God. Every word of God is perfect. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. It's not flawed. It's not butchered. But it's just not some religious something to me to talk about the Bible. To me, it's the Word of God. It's perfect. It says that it's perfect. It says that it's pure. If you're religious and you just got a set of rules you live by and you never... I'm telling you, there's a lot of people. They might go to church, but if you told them to turn to 2 Hezekiah, they'd look and look. That's not in the Bible. Doesn't mean anything to them. There's many a saint of God that's gone safely over to the other side, and that's all the guidance they needed. It's good enough for them. The Word of God will get the job done. The Bible has kept many a saint of God on the straight and narrow. Psalms 119 verse 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. The Word of God's kept many a saint down through the years from just falling all to pieces. Isaiah 26 verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The Word of God is sufficient. The Word of God is sweet. The Word of God is good. It is a blessing. It is a gift from the Lord. And I'm thankful for it. Thankful for the Bible. Then I think also, last of all, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 21. I want to say, just read some verses over there and I'll close tonight. But think about all the kind of gifts that God gives. They're good. They're perfect. They're from above. They're from the Father of lights. But I think about the gift of heaven. And I know if you're young, you might not think about heaven very much. I mean, we're to enjoy this life and live in this life. And I thank God for it, but the older you get, the more you'll think about heaven. The more you go to the hospital, the more you go to the nursing home, the more you go to the funeral home, how can you not think about heaven? Heaven is a wonderful promise in the Word of God. A home that is what? You say, preacher, is that a gift? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And you know what? I haven't been to the bank to try to work out a payment to get there to pay for my place. He just said, I go to prepare a place for you, and when it's ready, I'm coming back. Boy, isn't that a blessing? I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get you, and I'm going to take you there. He hadn't said a thing about paying for it. That's a gift. He's prepared a place for us. In Revelation 21, verse 1, the Bible said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't that wonderful? That's heaven. I mean, life can be going along pretty good, and next thing you know, it's all to pieces. When everything's going good, we don't think about heaven, but when things begin to fall apart, we begin to think about our home. Well, praise the Lord, there's a place where you'll not get old and fall apart. Is that not what happens to us? Well, that's hard to take. It's hard to think about. It, It's not an easy thing. I've heard people say the golden years are not so golden after all. A lot of aches and a lot of pains. You know, we're going to a place where there's no aches and no pains. And no growing old, and thank God, best of all, no dying. I hate that business. Going to a place where that just won't be. Can you imagine that? Just won't be no dying. That's all we know is dying. I told Kim the other day, I said, we're all just dying. I mean, every time the phone rings, I hate to go and answer and see what the text message is. It's something, and it's more now, seems like, than there has been being. So you think about it a lot more. But, boy, it's, you know, I think it's just going to go right on like that. Be somebody else next time. Next time, but you know, we're going to a place where there'd be no more dying. I visited the other night and talked with Sister Betty. And I said, I'll check on you tomorrow. She said, if I'm here. What do you say? I said, if you're not here, you'll be better off than we are. She said, that's right. Would you take them back after they're gone? They don't want to come back. Jesus, heaven, how wonderful. We sing about it. We praise the Lord about it. We've got really something to look forward to. It's that getting there that's the heart. That sickness and pain and all of that. I told Kim today, I said, if I was to go all of a sudden, I said, don't fret about it. That's the way I'd want to be. Who would? Because I know where I'm going. If you're saved by the grace of God, you know where you're going. Going to heaven. There's nothing bad about that. It's all good. That's a gift from the Lord. Well, we'll think about this and we'll close. He's given us so much. What have we given to Him? He only asked for one thing. In Proverbs, God said in chapter 4, my son, give me thine heart. Paul said in Romans 12 and 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He just wants us to serve Him. It's just reasonable after all He's done for us. But I began tonight, I was saying about how we judge gifts. How would God judge our gift? What have I given unto the Lord? Have I put much thought into it? And I've said this many, many times. I believe every saved person ought to dedicate their life to the Lord. There ought to be a lot of thought put into it. To the point that we give our all unto Him. Has it cost us anything to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? And then I think about, last of all, is our gift, is our life of any usefulness unto the Lord? It ought to be. It ought to be useful unto the Lord. Well, I appreciate your good attention tonight. And